Hello, I'm Robert Hurt, your host for this podcast for NASA's Spitzer Space Telescope. This audio series, highlighting recent results in infrared astronomy, is produced by the Spitzer Science Center at the California Institute of Technology in Pasadena, California. Today we're joined by Dr. George Reike and Dr. Carl Gordon, both astronomers from Stewart Observatory at the University of Arizona. Dr. Reike and Dr. Gordon are both members of the instrument team for the Multiband Imaging Photometer for Spitzer, or MIPS for short. They're here today to discuss some exciting new results on the nearby Andromeda Galaxy. Carl, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
George?
That's great to discuss these results.
If you mention the word Andromeda to an astronomer or any fan of the night sky, what first pops to mind is the striking spiral galaxy, also known as M31. This is the closest spiral galaxy to our own Milky Way, and at a distance of about 2 million light years, is the most remote object in the universe we can see with the naked eye, at least on a dark night. This may be one of the most well-studied objects in the sky, but Carl has just written a paper that describes Spitzer observations that shed new light on this familiar object. So Carl, can you explain in a little more detail what it is that you've used Spitzer to observe in the Andromeda Galaxy?
Yes, so we've observed in the infrared, so this is emission from dust, which has been heated by nearby stars, usually. With new observations, we've been able to see the spiral structure in M31 in a much higher accuracy than we have in the past, and we've also been able to relate that to this very large ring of star formation that seems to be in Andromeda. In addition, one of the things that we've kind of come to the conclusion from looking at our data is that M31 is disturbed by a recent interaction with M32, a satellite galaxy of M31.
So you said M31 is interacting with its companion M32. Can you explain in what way, what effect has this interaction had on Andromeda?
Yeah, so M32 has basically just gone through the disk almost, basically like dropping a stone into a lake or a puddle of water where you see that ripple effect come out, but there's a hole that opens up for a very short period of time and you get this big ring of water around it. And then it fills back in, but that's where we are right now in M32. It's just gone through the disk, there's a hole created, and there's a ring of material, and then probably at a later date it'll come back in.
So how long would we have to wait to see the ripple fill in?
Oh, some millions of years before it'll fill in.
Okay, a little past Spitzer's active lifetime.
And mine. Yes.
When we see pictures of beautiful spiral galaxies, they actually have a feeling of tranquility about them. They're these beautiful things you think are static. But what Carl's shown in his paper with his team is that it looks like a smaller galaxy is actually punched right through the disk of the galaxy, and that we're seeing the sort of ripples from that event going out into the disk. So no longer should you look at the picture of a beautiful spiral galaxy and think this is a picture of peaceful tranquility. It's a picture maybe of violence, maybe of really major things that have happened in the last many millions of years, but you know, where we can actually record that they happened.
Andromeda is often sort of held up as a sister galaxy to the Milky Way.
And that's brought me to begin to wonder, well, we think of our galaxy as a spiral galaxy, but it's also recently interacted with the Magellanic Clouds. So I wonder how disturbed the Milky Way is as a result of that.
So you guys are actually part of the MIPS imaging team. Can you tell me a little bit more about what you do for this, Carl?
I've been on the team for a while, and I work on making sure that the data get reduced properly and determining how to reduce the data in the best form, and also working on dust in galaxies, which is kind of my science area.
Wonderful. And George?
Well, I outrank him. I've worked on the team for about 22 years when we first applied to build the instrument, and so my job is to try to keep people organized.
What does studying the distribution of dust in Andromeda tell us that we really can't figure out just by looking at, say, the stars, which we're sort of more familiar with?
That's a good question. In fact, before we've had this very large ring and some spiral arm segments, but nothing, it was hard to connect them together to get a coherent structure like we like to think of a spiral galaxy. And now with MIPS, we've actually seen interior, so now we can see a spiral arm and roughly trace it from the center out beyond this ring.
So you're really looking at the sort of things with MIPS that you absolutely cannot see when you look in visible light. In visible light, you're really looking at stars.
Well, almost. I mean, you do see dust in the visible as a shadow. That's where you actually see dust lanes and so on. These are shadows where the stars are behind the dust, and so it shadows their observations. So you do see this in the optical, but the infrared with the tracing of dust is the most complete view so far we see of the ISM in this galaxy, especially in the inner region, which is where it's been the hardest to look.
It's kind of like an infrared X-ray.
Exactly.
It's interesting to put it in perspective. 90 years ago, we didn't even know what a galaxy was. And so we've been taking pictures of galaxies with visible light plates and CCDs and various detectors like you might have in a digital camera. But now we've opened up to where we can get pictures of nearby galaxies across the entire range from X-rays all the way into the radio. And so the big breakthrough is not just the Spitzer data, but that we can get data from other satellites that have just become available and combine those into a much better picture of this galaxy than we ever had before.
Actually, I think it sounds pretty remarkable that this galaxy, which is the nearest spiral to our own and really so incredibly well studied, was still harboring so many secrets, things that we hadn't really seen before.
It is intriguing. I mean, this is the nearest galaxy, one of the ones we first started studying as astronomers. But M31 really is highly inclined. It really is almost edge-on to our line of sight. But when you incline a galaxy and you're mixing the stars and the dust and the gas together, it's much harder to take that inclined view and infer what it looks like face-on.
Actually, I guess that sounds like the same difficulty you'd have trying to figure out what kind of pizza you're having for lunch if you're only looking at it from the edge.
Exactly, that's right. Yeah, you can't see the toppings very well.
So one other comment. I believe you made a comment earlier. There was something special about the observation date of these data.
Yes, it turned out coincidentally. I don't believe anyone planned it, but these data took almost the entire day on August 25th, 2004, which was 1 year after launch.
So I guess that was Spitzer's birthday present to you.
A very nice birthday present, I'd like to say.
Today we've been speaking with Drs. Carl Gordon and George Reike of the Stewart Observatory. Carl, George, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
It's been fun talking.
If you'd like to see the spectacular images of the Andromeda Galaxy we've been discussing, just go to the image galleries at www.spitzer.caltech.edu. You can also keep updated with the most recent news, download podcasts, and subscribe to our email newsletters. For the Spitzer Science Center, I'm Robert Hurt. Thanks for joining us.